What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that is brave enough to climb into the depths of the sewers and enjoy a nice little rat burger in order to find out what makes a particular topic so great. My name's Terry.
And my name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, Pop.
Yeah. Now, you may have noticed that strange little snippet. Was a vague and oblique reference to the fact that we are going to be talking about 1993's Demolition Man, starring Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes. I'm going to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Big Wesley. How have you been?
Very well. I tell you.
Yeah, I'm just popping pills.
That's okay. I'll talk while you're popping. Yeah, it was like a little holiday because I was off Friday and Monday for the Easter weekend, so... Cut the grass, bought some chicken wire, made a little outdoor area for the poxy rabbits that we have. I know, they're adorable. You've got to say that.
When you're in my condition, weekdays are meaningless.
It all blends into one.
What year is it?
So that was nice. We had Tony down and all that, and kids were playing and all that.
A nice Easter.
It was a nice Easter, to sum it up.
I'm back.
All right, so you've improved on last time. It's not so much a behemoth as it is. It looks a bit. That looks very mandible claw like. If I may say,
I can move my fingers. And when they took the thing off me, it's still a bit purple, as you can see there.
This one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, "Why is that?" And he was like, "Cause your hand was like smushed in the cast. Like my pointer was like really sore when it came out of the cast." And then they took out my stitches, which was fucking painful.
How many stitches did you have to get out of interest? Did I tell you?
Don't know. My hand looks messed up.
Does it?
Yeah. Underneath this. I don't want to take it off and show you, but...
I feel bad for laughing now.
Well, you should.
How big of a scar is it?
Up, in, and up. So it's kind of like a lightning bolt.
Oh, cool. Yeah. It's going to be a cool scar. I mean, your pinky won't work anymore, but it'll be a cool scar.
So they did that and they said, the surgeon was basically like, yeah, done with you. Don't ever want to see you again. Here, just keep this bandage on it. No, you'll have to go see the hand therapist. And I was like, cool, okay. But I was like, great. So I'm out of here. And then I was waiting around for like an hour.
Yeah.
It allowed me to get a couple of phone calls in. And then I realized nobody had come to see me. And there was this woman and I was like, she was dressed differently to all the other doctors. And I was like, I bet you that's the hand therapist.
Yeah.
And I kept trying to catch her eye. I was standing
Are you the hand therapist? slaps you across the face.
Yes.
Why does everyone keep doing that?
But I kind of just... I took a chance. I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to go back into where I was. And I'm not supposed to be in there without an adult. But I went in. I was like, sorry, I'm supposed to see the hand therapist. She's like, you're not on my list. Hold on. So she went off and it was like, okay, the surgeon never told me that we were supposed to talk. So
what sort of operation are they running up there?
Yeah, man, it's
just... There's lots of different kinds of glass. Yeah, was he involved in this
process? No, because he's Wexford and I'm up in Vincent's.
Okay. They're all crooks.
Who are you trying to trick?
All of them. They're all crooks.
But this thing they gave me is called a splint, right?
Okay.
It's hard, right?
Yeah.
But when I was chatting to the therapist, she was like, okay, I'm just going to take a measurement of your hand and had this piece of cloth. I was like, okay. And then went off to the other room and then came back in and popped something in, kind of like a baking, you know something that a buffet would have to keep the food warm.
Yeah,
like they have a lid on it. So she popped this thing in there. And we were chatting away, and she's like, "Okay, these are the exercises you need to do. Blah blah blah. Yeah. You need to clean your hand and all this." And she went over. She's like, "Nope, still not ready." And I was like, "What is she talking about?" And then she came back with this, and she started wrapping around. And in real time, it hardened.
That thing you were banging there.
Yeah,
that
it was soft when she put it around my hand. And I was like, oh, this is like how it's made. I was fascinated by it.
Something in the future.
Yeah. And I was like, so you just made that there? She's like, oh yeah, just this cloth and you put it in hot water and then it kind of wraps around whatever shape you need it to be and then sets and that's it. And
I was medical science.
Wow. I'm learning so much.
So do you take that off every day and clean it?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not, it's to get rid of like the dry blood and all that. Like, so yeah, it's a bit
of a fucking ordeal for one little moment. Ugh. You know?
But the thing is, she's like, so it's there, the splint is there to keep your pinky in place so that you don't.
So if your pinky moves too much, you might open up the... Yeah.
Not even open up, it's just so that the nerves heal. And it's, she also said, well, the therapist, or not therapist, the surgeon was like, so I've done everything, we've done all we can for your hand. So it's up to the hand now if the nerves grow back.
I don't care for that.
Yeah. It's like, so we won't see you again. Like, we can't do any more surgery. I'm like, cool.
We're done with you.
Pretty much. And he was like...
Will I ever be able to write again? Could I play piano anymore?
Of course you can. Well, I couldn't before. But he basically said, you may never get feeling back in your pinky. Like, my pinky still feels kind of numb. Like, I can feel that there. But, like, he's like, you have to be careful. If you're holding a hot drink and it's too hot and your pinky is against it,
your pinky won't know.
I won't feel it, but you'll burn your hand. Or, like, if I put my hand on the stove... No, that the hob hasn't been turned off. I could be like chatting away, like what's that what's smell? Cooking?
Someone cooking pork,
burning flesh. Oh my god, Terry!
So will you be able to actually move it, or you just?
I can move it now. I can see that there.
Yeah,
but okay. Like the whole thing is, I'm not supposed to straighten it out.
Oh, okay.
And like if I took it off, one of my exercises is make a fist. So like I can't quite get it. Like that one, but I can bend it up to about here. So just
it's not ideal, but you can live with that.
No, but it's just
if you can move it, like
every now and again, Faye would be. She'll just hear me go like, and I'm like, she's like, what's going on? I'm like, just my hand, and I'm like, I'm sure it's very irritating to just hear, making a face, be like, She's had 3 weeks of looking after three dependents. So I understand. But I like I shouldn't be like I'm not back to work till Monday, which is good because I don't think I would be able to.
Are you looking forward to going back to work?
No. Like but also like, you know, I'm doing stuff where I'm like, oh yeah. And then like I'll stop myself because I'll get a bang of pain. I'm like, don't do that with your hand. It's kind of misleading because you're like, hey, I can butter my own bread. I can comb my hair. But then every now and again, my hand will be like, hey, fucker. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, geez. So when do you get that thing off?
10th of April.
Okay.
10th of April. Well, I go back and see and you might say, keep it on.
You're going to be able to play FIFA with that bad boy? All thumbs and index fingers, baby.
Just the way I like it.
Oh, please. Here, I have something on a totally separate note, if I may.
Shift gears, because you know I can't do that with my hand.
You know I can't shift gears. That's about me, isn't it? tell me if this is crazy, right? So I've done I set up a Shopify store, okay?
I remember you were talking about this to me before.
Get this, right? So, it's for the YouTube thing. So, I have Shopify and a thing called Printful. So, Printful, it's like, you know, here's the designs. Someone orders it, they print it, they send it to them.
Right.
And I get a little bit of the difference, right? But here's the...
What's the percentage, if you don't mind me asking?
I think it was like... Initially, it was supposed to be like... It costs like 12... to make, and like I was selling them for like 18.
So you get
six.
You get six.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. That's in theory what's supposed to happen.
You get 30%.
Something like that. Yeah. But here's I didn't want to charge 20, but I thought, you know, under 20 is a pretty good deal. But then the way it actually works is I set up the Shopify store. I just put it up on YouTube. You can do posts on YouTube, like written posts. And I said, here's a link to the shop if anyone wants to go on it. And someone did go and they bought a mug. And I shut my shop down straight away. Because what happened was, if someone buys something, I have to pay for the initial cost.
Oh,
and then
really?
They give me the full amount in like a week's time. Rather than just giving me the little few quid.
Yeah.
It's so if someone bought like 100 mugs, that's like a grand that would have come out of my account, you know? And I was like, what backwards system is this? And they were like, Shopify was like, well, you know, we don't work with Printful. We can't take the hit on. And I was like, but you're not taking the hit. Like, they've just bought it. Like,
yeah.
There's, you know, just figure it out. So I'm probably just gonna have to buy some stock in or something,
like we did before.
I know, but that's what put me off doing it, because it's like now when someone orders something, it's like, oh.
But you were right that we kind of we messed it up with the free delivery. Never again, folks.
Yeah, that was, and that's on me. You know what? Yeah. Enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it if you bought it, but never again. Yeah. That's all I'll say. Never again.
You learn. You live and you learn.
So I mean, that just seems backwards to me, right? Yeah. Like, how is anyone supposed to get anything done? Anyway, people were just recommending, look, just buy it, and you know, you'll get more.
Set up your own business.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not going to do
it. Yes, Industries, mate.
Yeah. I'll finally patent it, because every time I'm like, patent pending. But here's something else. I've watched a movie, Terry.
Oh.
Off the Clock.
Oh, you went off piste.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, I watched the whole thing on Saturday night.
Hey.
And when I knew I had this movie to watch, I was like, no. So because I was just browsing, I was looking for Demolition Man on Prime. No. When I went on Prime, I was like, ooh, Roadhouse.
Oh.
And so I stuck it on, Terry. And have you seen it?
No. I somebody said this to me. Brother-in-law said this to me on Sunday.
What did he say?
He's like, have you watched it? And I said, I refuse to watch it.
And what did he say about it?
He liked it. I refuse to watch it because Conor McGregor is in it. I think this whole marketing thing with him front and center, I'm like, this guy incited a riot in Dublin
a month ago or whatever. Marketing.
Like there was a thing, it was like him and Jake Gyllenhaal.
No, see the interview where he's like
twitching
like mad?
But there was a thing like, oh, him, it was like GQ or something, and they were like puppies. And it was like a bunch of puppies and Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor. And I was like, this actually makes me sick. This fucking scumbag.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
And it actually makes, I'm like, I know Jake Gyllenhaal is doing the dance and stuff, but I'm like, you know what? Just don't post about him. Because I follow him on Instagram. I follow Jake Gyllenhaal on Instagram. Yeah. And I'm like, he's like tagging.
He's got it though, isn't he?
He has to, I know. He's probably a producer in it, whatever.
They probably got on, you know, and their little bubble of on set, you know. Like,
fucking scumbag. And like, the fact that he's getting this spotlight.
Well, let me tell you something,
Terry. Makes me want to vomit in terror.
I watched the movie. And probably subconsciously because I wanted to see what all the fuss was about. You know what I mean? I'm not like a big McGregor fan.
I heard it's a blast.
It's not a blast, Terry.
No?
It's fucking shite.
Good.
Soulless, heartless shite.
Hmm.
Meaningless shite. It is...
Just like the first one.
I mean, yeah. But the first one was like...
Camp! They're tragically ludicrous.
I'm looking at it.
Ludicrously tragic.
I'm looking at it and I'm like, why is Jake Gyllenhaal doing this? He must have had a fondness for the original Roadhouse.
I think Doug Liman is like, people like Doug Liman. It was supposed to go to theaters, and Doug Liman is like,
he was
this piece of shit company. Like,
because like I watch your man Casey Neistat, you know, his YouTube channel. Yep. Really famous YouTuber, lives in New York. You'd know him to see. He's got a bit of a weird face.
Okay. Narrows it down. I mean, Mr. Beast has a weird face.
But his whole latest video is all about Doug Liman. And like, he normally doesn't do this, where it's like Doug Liman this platform to talk about how he wanted it to be released in theaters, and they were told it was going to be, and then Amazon was like, oh, no, it's over here now. And so that was, it was like it was made for theaters and all this sort of stuff. So I don't really know the ins and outs of that. You may know more than I do, but like,
it's pretty much that they promise, because Amazon do this thing where they'll do, you know, Prime Video, you know, streaming debut, but they also will do ones that they release in cinema as well.
Yeah.
Like, so it can be one or the other.
It's on Amazon already. I was thinking,
They had a big premiere at South by Southwest, and you know, there's big good reactions and stuff like that. Like, people are saying, oh, this is made to be seen in the cinema with a bunch of people.
Like that.
And I'd say it probably would play better.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, it's a ridiculous concept anyway.
Like, do you know what? It was just like, Conor McGregor's not in it. It's 2 hours long. Conor McGregor comes into an hour. And I mean, I don't get the point of it. Jake Gyllenhaal's character is like, he's sort of like, oh, like, you know, at the start you get stabbed and he's talking to someone while the knife is in him. And
that's the thing.
You know, and she's like, oh my God, you're stabbed. He's like, whatever. And it's like, so he's like troubled, like he's parking on the train tracks trying to commit suicide. But then when he moves to this town to be, you know, the bouncer, He's like Mr. Rogers, like the most down to earth good.
That was the move. That was Patrick Swayze as well. He was like, he's troubled.
What is he like? Is he troubled? Because he's seem
troubled because he rips the. Remember, he ripped the guy's throat out in the first.
Oh yeah.
In
this one, he was an MMA fighter and he kept punching after the bell and it was his friend and killed him or something like that.
Stupid.
But like, and then Conor McGregor comes in and I know Conor McGregor's not an actor, but it is some of the worst acting.
What are they doing?
I know he's just Conor McGregor in the movie. Like, he's literally, it's literally just him.
Just a coked up arsehole. Like.
Like, I was watching it and Kerry was trying to sleep next to me. And the next day I told her, like, oh, I was shy. And she was like, I was trying to sleep and also cringing when I just heard him deliver his lines. And it's like, I know he's not an actor. I know that he wasn't hired for his acting skills. Like, it was for the big media frenzy.
Yeah, and it's, I doubt it's Doug Liman that is, you know, picking Conor McGregor. It's like that's a studio, that's a, you know,
I just wondered why is like Jake Gyllenhaal is one of the best actors around, I think.
Yeah. And like, sometimes you gotta do fun stuff, like, you know?
Is that one of these like one for me, one for them?
Yeah, I'd say
thing?
He got paid a good amount of money for it, and I'd say he thought he probably liked the original.
He looks weird without the beard as well. I mean, he was jacked in it.
Yeah, I mean,
but he looks a bit odd. I mean, I know he's an odd kind of looking guy anyway, but with the beard, you're like, oh, he's handsome, but a bit odd. But when he doesn't have the beard on, like...
Are you thinking like Spider-Man beard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Your voice dropped
language.
The whole octave there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
I mean, that's his best look.
Yeah, bearded. Yeah. But, and I think he's great. I've seen some clips on like Howard Stern and stuff, which, you know...
Apparently, you know, he's... being now, I don't know if this is just people being sensitive or whatever, but like they're talking about him being a bit of a not groomer, but like somebody who likes to be friendly on set, if you know what I mean. Like,
oh,
it was not named, it was like some woman's blog post or whatever had been saying this, and she was like 22 and he was like, then this actor was 38,
I right think.
And then somebody had quote tweeted, this is about Jake Gyllenhaal, FYI, and I was reading that and I was like, it doesn't seem like rapey or anything like that, but it seems a bit maybe...
Just inappropriate, like?
Not inappropriate, but a bit like... He's like, it's almost as if like he has written on his t-shirt, like, I want to have sex with you. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
But like, she was like, I was 20...
Just very forward.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Or like very overly friendly.
Right.
I don't think anything happened. But she was like, I was shaken. I was this. And I was like, maybe that is your experience. From what you're putting on the paper, though, it wasn't a Harvey Weinstein.
It sounded like just like it's quite clear that this guy wants to do the no pants dance.
Yeah, he wants to do the hunka chunka.
The horizontal mamba.
As Sylvester Stallone would call it.
A hunka chunka. But listen, but speaking of, before we even get into that, speaking of grooming,
oh,
you
Lord.
Seen all this P. Diddy shit?
What the fuck?
I mean, by all accounts...
I've been out of the loop for a long time. And I remember months ago, somebody had said something about Meek Mill, is that right?
I don't really know who that is.
It's a rapper. He's performing at WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
But it was like, he was like his live-in lover, I guess. And I was like, P. Diddy? Like, you know, like...
There's loads of shit, right? Where
I've kind of gone down a rabbit hole, yeah, like...
Yeah, but like, it's kind of like... P. Diddy and, like, you know, Justin Bieber and all these people.
Videos
like,
of it, like...
Mm, and, like, by all accounts, like, it's been billed as, like, the Harvey Weinstein of the music industry sort of thing. That, like, everyone's going to come out now and
apparently,
say,
you know, Prince Harry was at some of his parties. Yeah, and stuff, like, all this shit.
And the whole thing of, like, his house getting raided by the feds. Like, his plane was spotted in Bermuda. Like, flew out as soon as it was gone.
He was gone. Like, somebody tipped him off.
Where he can't be extradited or something. I mean, I don't know.
There's a great thing of Ridley Scott, did you see?
No.
So, like, you know, he's the director of Gladiator and Blade Runner and stuff. And he's, like, trying to get to his house. And he's just like standing around with like a load of police caution tape. He can't get by because he lives further down the road from P. Diddy. So he's just standing there. And somebody was like, this would make such a excellent album cover. And he just has him standing there with the tape. And then the little corner is like, parental advice.
It's so messed up.
It is fucking crazy.
Oh, I don't know the full ins and outs of it, to be honest. But all this, I tell you what, all this gay stuff... I feel like that's gonna I feel like that's going to be a thing in the next year or two.
What, like, do you mean? Like,
because I saw, like, now this is all hearsay, but like, I saw something where it was like Will Smith's bodyguard or best friend was talking about like walking in on Will Smith and someone else riding. And like, I feel like it's one of those sort of like, not eyes wide shut, but it's like one of these like, what's the ultimate taboo? You know what I mean?
But like, also like that, I mean, that's two consenting adults. I don't give a shit about that.
It's fine, but it's kind of like, what, all this stuff that's been, it's just a secret. I'm just nosy about some of it. Like, what's going on
over there, huh? Yeah. No, but the, Big Willie. The grooming shit of like,
oh, that's another, that's work altogether.
Rotten hell, you piece of shit. Like.
But like, what's going on? Like, there's going to be, I just feel like there's going to be a big, loads reckoning, of people. Yeah. There's going to be another, like, he's been Me
around.
Too.
He's been around for, in Hollywood or whatever, for, or music industry for what? 30 years going on now,
you know?
He's
been linked with, like, and then I've seen stuff with Kanye calling him a fed and all this sort of stuff, and, like...
Mm, there's another one, like, you know, it's...
But, like, apparently Kanye is... Everyone's like, Kanye's crazy, but, like, you don't see his name anywhere on any of these
No,
things.
But...
I mean, he's got his own issues to deal with.
He's starting his own cult, like...
Yeah. I mean, it's just fucked up, yeah. Like, I don't... Like,
America's messed up country, like...
God almighty,
it's crazy. It's crazy. And then, like... So you have that going on over there, and then like if you jump over to the political sphere, it's like they're outlawing IVF in certain states.
Are they?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's not God's way. No, you're like, fuck, yeah. What are we?
Those
Puritans, like, you know?
Oh my God.
It's so fucking messed up.
That's like, and it's like from Demolition Man.
Yeah. Well, that's a great segue, Andy. Why don't we get into the year 2032. It's like 8 years from
Let's
now.
Let's jump 8 years into the future where, I mean, well, we get to it, but some of it wasn't entirely inaccurate.
Oh, very good.
At the end of a century, ravaged by violence, a society of perfect order will arise. Criminals will be frozen and reprogrammed in cryogenic prisons.
The prisoners are ice cubes. Their criminal instincts are being reprogrammed as they sleep.
Aggression and deviant behavior will be totally eliminated.
He's a criminal the likes of which you have never seen. In a bad time, he was the worst.
I'm gonna love running this place.
But in the year 2032...
This morning, Simon Phoenix escaped from this cryo facility. We are, quite frankly, not equipped to deal with the situation.
Amidst a world of peace and calm...
We're police officers. We're not trained for this kind of violence.
How was the fiendish Simon Phoenix apprehended back in the 20th?
In the end, it took just one man. John Spartan.
You mean the Demolition Man?
The conditions of your parole are full reinstatement into the SAPD and immediate assignment to the apprehension of Simon Phoenix.
Two mortal enemies.
Just dropped in and say hi!
From another time.
Pass is over, John! Time for something new and improved!
Oh, hell.
Will be unleashed on a future that isn't big enough for the both of them. Sylvester Stallone. Wesley Snipes. Demolition Man.
That was the trailer for 1993's Demolition Man, starring Sylvester Stallone, Wesley Snipes, and Sandra Bullock. Not to forget, Rob Schneider.
Of course.
Yes. Andy.
Yes.
Care to take a stab at the budget of this movie?
I'm going to say it's a high budget. I'm going to say 80 million.
You're wrong. Now, I had to do a bit of digging, right? So, a couple of places have it between 44 and 77 million. That's the range.
Okay, well.
But then I found a website that said the actual budget was $57 million.
That actually seems relatively cheap compared to what was on the screen.
Really?
Yeah, I thought I was thinking a few times, Jesus, the budget in this must be through the roof. Like, what was it for...
Cliffhanger was 70 million.
But
they're on location. That costs way more. You know, they're in Italy, right. So, like, that's where your cost is.
I would have assumed, looking at the two movies, I would have assumed this would have had quadruple the budget.
But this is all soundstage.
Yeah.
You know, which is good. I miss soundstage.
Yeah.
As opposed to CG bloop, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Opening weekend?
10 million dollars.
You know what? 15 million. You're not in between 1.5 though.
What?
It's not, it's 10%.
Oh, we're doing away with the 5.
Yeah.
Why'd you say it like that? Making me think I had it.
All right. Box office. Oh, no, hold on. We didn't do domestic. Sorry.
Domestic.
Domestic box office. Jumping around all over the place.
65 million.
58 million. 6.5. You're 0.5 off.
0.5 away. Fuck's sake.
I'm going to have to say no. I'm sorry.
Pretty close.
Yeah. And worldwide.
290 million.
159.1 million.
That's not even kind of close.
Yeah. So you're 0 for 4 with your box office. Rotten Tomatoes.
Critics.
They all agreed.
I'd say they all agreed it was a stinky pile of chi. I'd say they'd say 66.
63!
Yes!
So that is back. It's technically fresh.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Audience score?
66.
67!
Oh! All right.
You stick to your Rotten Tomatoes you'll be just fine. The production by Marshall Talmadge. So originally the script was written by Peter Lenkov
until Sylvester Stallone took over.
We'll get to it. Lenkov came to Hollywood straight out of college with no connections and wrote 7 different scripts, desperately hoping to break in to Hollywood. He sold the script to Warner Brothers as his first big break, and he basically said he was inspired by Lethal Weapon and influenced by stories of celebrities being cryogenically frozen. And also, his cassette player in his car was broken. So Sting's song Demolition Man just played on repeat. Always. That's the song they use at the end credits.
Okay.
I was like, why do they call this movie Demolition Man? Yeah. It's just like, because he's the Demolition Man.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Well, it's like, why do they call him that?
It's like, well, he's a big fan of Sting, it turns out. His initial pitch was rejected by an executive who did not understand the concept of a frozen cop. But it was basically, the script was entirely rewritten by Daniel Waters when he was hired. He changed the script so extensively that when it went to arbitration, he received first billing on the screenwriting credit, and Lenkov just received story by credit.
Okay.
So he said the early drafts of the movie were a regular action movie, no attempt at comedy, which attempt is a good word.
That is a good word.
For what Waters has done, because it's very, I found this movie very wacky, I will say. A lot more comedy than I remembered.
Yeah.
There was basically a bidding war to see who would win the franchise war in the movie. Burger King was originally written as the winner of the franchise war, as opposed to Pizza Hut. They also contacted
Taco Bell.
Was it Taco Bell in your version?
Yeah.
It was Pizza Hut in my version.
What?
They go for dinner with
Taco Bell. Everything is Taco Bell.
No, it's Pizza Hut.
What?
In my version, yeah. What?
It was Taco Bell.
So they go for dinner with your man Cocteau. Yeah. Was Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Pizza.
What the fuck are they doing? They obviously played both sides.
That makes sense, because
you're the only one for us.
Because McDonald's were not interested in it, but Taco Bell were happy to be involved. And I was reading that, I was like, I don't remember Taco Bell.
It was Taco Bell
in Pizza in the one I watched. Fuck? That is crazy. Waters wrote some of the script on index cards while waiting in line for Johnny Carson tickets. He said it was the fastest work he'd ever written, and he only worked on it 2.5 weeks.
And it shows.
Yeah, I think so. When it came to hiring Stallone, he passed on the idea at first. He did not want to do it. But he did like the idea of having two equal opponents in Spartan and Phoenix.
John Spartan.
And like, Simon Phoenix.
And Simon Phoenix.
I mean, is it better that way as opposed to like...
an actual real sounding name?
Or it's, you know, something as ludicrous as like Alakazam Phoenix or something.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
As Thunder Phoenix.
Like Simon. Yeah. Keith Phoenix.
Like, it's always Keith, isn't it? Like... Stallone actually wanted Jackie Chan for the role of Phoenix, but he turned it down, not wanting to play a
the
villain
bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they do give him a little shout out in it.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Wesley Snipes turned down the role several times, so Joel Silver, the producer and director, Marco Brambilla, who I don't know if you remember the movie Richie Rich.
Of course I remember.
Yeah, he was trying to get that made before this film, and he only was able to get that done because of this movie.
Oh, okay.
They were like, no, we don't want to give it to you because he was a video, like a music video director. And David Fincher, my man, who was also around that time directing movie music videos, recommended him to Stallone. So Brambilla explained what he thought the film could be and his passion for the script that they were writing. And they were able to convince Snipes to do it. They said that he works without rehearsing a lot and improvises
everything,
pretty much.
I'm wondering, like, what's Wesley Snipes' appeal? You know what I mean?
Like, he's got energy.
Like, what did he do to
before this? Like,
just how is? Yeah, like what? Like, what's his biggest movie?
I mean, this Blade. Blade is huge. There's like, I mean, his first one, if you look, I'm looking at his IMDb right here, is Blade.
Yeah.
New Jack City was like 91. Demolition Man. White Man Can't Jump was 92.
Oh, yeah. So he was really like early 90s.
Like late 80s, early 90s. If we go back to, let's say, if you look at his big, big break. I mean, he's in Major League as well. You kind of forget, like, and then he's not in the second one.
Yeah.
And he's in Bad. The music video for Bad, Michael Jackson's Bad.
Seen that?
Yeah. Huh. And then, of course, like everybody else, he is in an episode of Miami Vice.
Of course.
Of course. Everybody's Bruce Willis was in an episode of Miami Vice. So, yeah, like, he signed on, and then Stallone, once they got him signed on, then Stallone, well, you know, he pulled his old trick and got down to work with the script. I think he's uncredited.
Do they let him? I mean,
it's what he does. You know what I mean? Like,
so they know when they're signing him up, they know that they're getting someone who's going to force himself on the script.
Yeah.
Like, do they say to him, look, we need the script, we need a bit of work on the script? Or does he just say, I'm going to change it?
I like the script, but I have notes.
Yeah, like if I sign on, I'd like to do things a little bit differently, sort of thing.
One last thing. Dennis Leary was hired for his comedy rants, which he wrote himself, but had to undergo a long approval process by the studio before it was included in the script. Now, I want to say, that's just Dennis Leary in this movie is just Dennis Leary doing No Cure for Cancer. Like, you know,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
like I want to eat at a steakhouse,
gravy fries. I want to run down the street, but just not my Jello because I feel like it.
Yeah, I'm on a soul.
I did think when he was saying that whole speech, like that's very Dennis
Leary. It's just his comedy.
That's
easy,
him,
you know.
Man.
Like
he actually looked brilliant.
I mean,
in
Dennis Leary had a good look.
He looked very cool.
Early
he looked 90s. And sounded very, very cool.
You ever see that movie Judgment Night?
No, can't say that I have.
It's fucking. It's Emilio Estevez. It is. I want to say maybe Luke Perry, the guy, Jeremy Piven, and somebody else. And it's like they're all in a Winnebago and they're going to the big fight. But they're stuck in traffic on the freeway.
I love this already.
So they take a turn to the left and they end up in like downtown LA. And it might as well be fucking Terminator 1 or you know, it's just a fucking wasteland where there's nobody on the streets and they're like, we're in the wrong part of town here, guys.
I'd love to see
that.
And
then they have to like make their way back home, and Dennis Leary is like the gang leader that they're like, hey, rich guys.
I know they watch this.
They witness him doing Dennis Leary doing a murder.
Right.
And then they're like, we gotta get those guys. So it's like A hole, right. And of course the Winnebago stops working, so they're like, they can't get out,
doing a murder death kill.
Yeah, absolutely.
As they say in this,
we did Arnie watch last week. It's the same year as Cliffhanger, another movie that you know, outgrossed Last Action Hero.
This one did.
Yeah. So it's still like Stallone, you know,
Stallone's kind of back on the up around this point, is he?
Like, critically,
not so much.
I mean, this was okay, you know, received, but it's not the heights of what it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
But it's the last two movies in a year, like in a good year this year, made a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's kind of after this, like, yeah, if you were saying like Copland, and then it's like, oh boy, it's a long, you know, they thought the reason we're not doing the Expendables.
Oh yeah,
because it was like, this is gonna be the one, and it's like,
wasn't.
No,
what happened, like, here? Studio satellite hit this transmission.
That's what I thought, but but speaking of what I thought, why don't you tell me what you thought about this movie?
I really enjoyed it.
Me too. It's weird.
Like, it's
no good, but like, it's kind of good.
It's not. Yeah, like. It's not good, but it is good. I'm going to tell you something now that's going to really annoy you.
What?
I think this is the best
acting.
I think this is Stallone's best acting in the movies that we've done so far. For me.
That's pretty annoying.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of bad in this movie.
I think he's so much more. He's given me so much more in this than he gives me in any. Like, he annoyed me in all the other ones.
What?
Like, if anything, these movies I'm liking in spite of Stallone being in them, if I'm being honest. Whereas this one, I'm like, okay, Stallone's actually adding to the movie. I'm not like, oh, like, the movie is at a 9, but Stallone brings it down to an 8. This was like, this
7 and Stallone bops it up to an 8. Like,
something like that, yeah.
6. Let's not be generous. 6 to a 7.
Like. I thought, movie-wise, I enjoyed this movie a lot more than... A lot more, actually, than... Any of them bar Rocky IV.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so weird, Andy.
Because it was just... It was funny. It was like...
Is it funny?
Like, unintentionally.
Yeah, okay.
And
there's a couple of jokes that I actually like.
And it was interesting. It was like... Some of it was over... There was a lot of it was over.
I like a lot of the ideas in this
movie. That's what it is. The ideas.
The execution, I'm like... Yeah. Stop talking like that.
I know.
It's really annoying me, like... Be well.
I thought your life force was prematurely terminated. You know, like that sort of stuff.
I would say, what a fucking trooper Sandra Bullock is.
She's great.
She's like, she has so much shit to fucking talk through in this. And she does it perfectly. Like, you can see why.
She's like earnest or something. Like,
but even she pulls it off. You're like, oh, I believe, you know, that she is saying this stuff naturally. You know what I mean? And you can see why she's going to be a star. Like, Speed is, what, 2 years down the line? Like, but like...
Actually, yeah. If this was in the hands of just some nothing actress, you know?
Like there's a intangible quality that she has.
She kind of needs to be good for this movie
to work. It doesn't work if she doesn't work.
Like,
you know,
Stallone
what I mean?
Can be Stallone and Snipes can be Snipes. But if she's not lifting it up for
she
everyone.
She does a lot of heavy lifting.
She does actually.
Dialogue wise.
Do a lot of heavy lifting. But like, just like.
I knew as soon as I saw Los Angeles 1993 and it's just flaming barrels and buildings on fire. I was like, Catwoman's going to love this.
I literally, my first note was, the chopper is in the sky at the start over the flaming city. Right. I literally wrote, it's already better than the rest of the movies. Literally at that exact same moment, I thought, like, I'm already so into this. When he comes through, it's like
Phoenix!
Yeah.
Like, out of the helicopter, like...
I mean...
I still, at the start, like, I had it on and I hadn't turned my captions on.
Yeah.
And I was like, he says his first sentence, I was like, I need to put the captions on. I can't. Sometimes it's just unintelligible what he's saying. Like,
Kerry was telling me that Stallone has like a bit of paralysis in his face, and that's why he sort of looks and talks that way.
Yeah, he does. It's not Bell's palsy. It's a different
palsy.
Yeah. Oh. But I noticed it in Cliffhanger in the opening scene where, because it's like when he was gurning, I was like, his face kind of is turning up like that.
Yeah.
It's just the same year. You can kind of tell, and I think. People have said he hasn't had plastic surgery to correct it. There's something.
Oh, now he certainly has.
No, but at the time,
okay.
his face is too smooth. You know what I mean? Like, there's some sort of peel or lifts
something.
Or something done there. Like, I don't know if that's related to the palsy, but like, maybe it's just Hollywood.
Here's a question, though, right? Because it was made in 93,
mm-hmm.
but in the movie, it's 96.
In the movie,
because it said San Angeles 1996 at the start. And I was like,
oh yeah, it's not, it's Los Angeles 1996 in the start. Sorry, yeah. And then and then it's San Angeles because it's 36 years. It's 2032.
But here's a question, right? How it seemed like, because Kerry was asking, I couldn't really explain. She was like, why are they freezing them? And I was like,
makes no sense.
I was like, it's like
just put him in prison.
Yeah, it's like, she's like, surely that's a huge cost to keep this running than just throw them in a cell. It's like, I was like, you better have a good lawyer. And then the next scene, he's being led into this ice chamber. Like, sorry, did it skip 10 minutes?
No.
Like, is this now the policy? 3 years later, like in 96?
Yeah.
Like,
so
the expense.
No, but it wasn't 3 years later from the opening.
No, but I mean it's the fact that this is supposed to be 96 and they're doing this, like, you know,
in real life.
Not like this is 50 years into the future. Like.
So it should have been 2001, say.
Something.
Because in 93, well, the year 2000, things are going to be crazy. We're going to have a flying car. As opposed to, well, 3 years from there, we're going to have the old cryo prisons that we pop everybody in.
That was the thing that was kind of laughable. And some of the stuff they actually kind of got fairly accurate. Like, I thought the actual look of the cars was relatively accurate into how it looks now.
Except
and
for
a few little things.
Except for the first one that Wesley Snipes has when he escapes.
Yeah.
It's like a go... what would you call them? They're not... Yeah, they're go-karts, I guess.
Yeah,
or like a three-time derby.
Yeah.
You know, one of those...
Pinewood derbies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See?
But, like, it was just the amount that they thought... would be different in 2032, is that what it's supposed to be?
8 years now.
Like, I mean, completely different. And here's another question. All of these changes were made by this one guy. Is that all...
Mr. Cocteau.
Yeah. Is that all over the world? Because they don't really tell you about that.
I had that question myself.
It's like, this has the rest of the world adopted to this?
Has the rest of America adopted to it is the question I have. Like,
clean living? This sort of like, oh, they don't swear, they don't make contact,
like,
they don't have salt, they don't, you know, anything that's bad for you is illegal, basically.
Yeah, Nigel Hawthorne plays Dr. Raymond Cocteau. My man, Bob Gunton, was in it.
The bald guy?
Yes! I look at
him. What do I know him from?
You know him from Ace Ventura and Nature Calls. He's the guy that...
No,
like,
that's not what I'm thinking of.
He was in... He's in fucking everything.
Yeah, he's in a big one.
He was in Broken Arrow, and I was talking about how he's my favorite part, and he's like, he's Travolta's, like... business partner that's like going crazy. He's like, we just need to get out of here. And he's like, no. Like,
he's great.
I'll tell you exactly what his big one is.
Yeah, I'd love to know. But like, he was great, and like all of the side,
he's
like
the
your man from
Ace Ventura. He's the warden.
That's what it is.
Sorry, go on.
And then your man from Ace Ventura. Like, is it? Are we thinking of the same guy?
You talking about Glenn Shadick?
The guy who works at the police force in Ace Ventura.
Huh?
Do you know, like, the kind of big guy?
Yeah, Otho from Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he's not in Ace Ventura, is he?
Yeah, he's one of the cops.
He's not, like, Roger Predactor or anything like that in Ace Ventura. No, he's not.
That's Roger Predactor.
No, he's not. He is in it for a bit at the start. Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah. I'm talking about your man, Bob.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The straight up bald guy. Yeah.
No. I'm talking about the other guy, Bob, who works for Cocteau, and he's like the hair.
Oh, him.
Big fat guy, like from Beetlejuice.
Oh, okay. We're getting totally mixed up. I thought you were talking about the bald guy.
Well, no, that's who I was talking about.
Okay,
that's Gunton.
Okay.
We're going around in circles here.
I'm you.
Troy Evans down as tough cop.
Ugh.
That is Roger Predactor, yes.
But you know what? I have to admit, like, I mean, there was... Okay, so here's what was... excuse me. Mom. here's what was wrong with it. Apart from all the things you just mentioned. The sheer amount of one-liners before every attack.
They call it out as well, like...
you know, and so like there's like, but it's like they're so low quality. Like he's swinging the TV and hitting him. He's like, "You're on TV." Like hits him with it. It's like he's hanging off the thing. He's like, "How's it hanging?" And like, oh, it's just so not thought of at all.
It's a bit outside the Taco Bell or Pizza Hut, where he's like, "I hope you have a nice life." All 2 seconds of it left, or whatever. And then like Sandra Bullock. It's like, I really liked how you made a quip before you...
Yeah, yeah. And I noticed again in this, they were like, reference Stallone and Schwarzenegger.
They referenced...
It's like, hey, Rambo. He's like, thanks for the gun, Rambo, or something like that. And then...
The Schwarzenegger reference, I was like...
That's pretty true. It's I mean, president. And at the time, you're like, yeah, that is crazy. Whereas but now it's like...
At the time... What I'm after learning about him, because I was listening to a podcast on Last Action Hero.
President Schwarzenegger says.
But he was quite the political mover and shaker before, like
even back then?
Yeah, even back then, like he was kind of, you know, but you know, cozy to everybody. Like, you know, he's a funny guy because he's like, ostensibly he would be the best Republican candidate to ever run for president. Obviously he can't. And like they say they changed the rules here. 61st Amendment, because you know, if you're not born in America, you can't be president.
Okay.
Hence, there was the whole thing with Obama.
Yeah, they were like, the whole passport thing.
He's like Kenyan orphanage or whatever, you know, hospital. But like he has a really interesting policy of like, he's not like us versus them. He's like, I'm Republican. I, you know, business.
Yeah.
First and commerce and you know how you can make it the best city, the best country or whatever.
He's
not actually very political
in
that way, or so I thought. And then I listened to him on Conan a while ago and he was like, Ronald Reagan, the best president we've had in 40 years. And I was like, oh, I don't agree with you there.
Not a popular one,
Joe. Don't agree with you there, Arnold.
So like they had a reference to that in it and it was just...
actually gave me a smile. Yeah. He's like, ooh.
Because he's so, like, they dwell on it for ages. Yeah. His reaction is like, president. You know, like, it's like, hey, they're like, foes.
That's him getting in the script, being like, well, this will teach you to make me do stop or my mom will shoot.
And then I always remember the scene, even when I was younger, I remember being a little bit, I don't know what the word is, aroused.
The sex scene? Like,
yeah. Like, it was just before I really knew anything about sex, but I just remember thinking, like, I like this and I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of, there's boobs. You see.
You see a flash of boob.
Yeah. And then you see a couple of flash of boobs.
And then when he puts the thing in and she's like, oh, sorry, wrong, whatever. Remember when he gets that disc on a different, and like later in the movie where he gets that disc and he puts it into the thing and he goes
to watch it.
And it's like, your one's like, hey, Bob, whatever. Yeah. Like, oh. But when they're putting the hat on thing to have sex.
My big thing is, why doesn't he just let himself, you know, finish?
I don't think he was enjoying it.
He was. There was he's making certain faces where he's like, ooh. And I'm like, just fucking go with it, man. Like, don't be so uptight.
It's like, I'm in the future now.
Yeah. If this stuff in my brain is going to make me...
But would it make you finish, though?
I mean, there's such a thing.
I remember reading in a book when I was younger that 4 out of every 1,000 men are able to, if you'll pardon, I'm going to use the medical term, ejaculate.
Yes.
Without any contact.
There's a thing called a hands-free orgasm.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
What is this?
It's a thing that you like listen to and it's supposed to make you come.
Listen to?
Yeah. It's like ASMR or something like that.
Oh.
Like, where it's like...
Yeah, but like you can certainly get you...
No, you're not...
Get you off, but...
But that's the whole thing. You're not... Like, can you get off without touching yourself? That's the whole point of it. Like... Oh.
No chance.
No. You kidding me? But if I'm having this stuff fucking, you know, firing my synapses, who knows? Just fucking go with it, man.
Okay. Well, yeah, you should have just gone with it.
Yeah.
But I do remember thinking at the time when I was like,
it's very like vivid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the fact that she just asks him, do you want to have sex?
Yeah.
And she looks so like...
She looks like Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, but she also looks like she really wants him to say yes. Hmm. You know what I mean? But not in a like, oh, I'm trying to be sexy. Just like, please say yes.
Will we just devote the rest of the episode to talking about this?
Please.
Yeah. Like, let's talk about Snipes for a bit.
Okay, sure. I didn't really like him in this.
Did you not?
He was too, like he knows, what is this guy? Like,
he knows what he's in. He knows, but yeah, you're right. It's like he has this fiefdom of like, nobody comes down here. I'm a megalomaniac. I told the police. And it's like, oh yeah, this is what people in the 90s thought, like, yeah, bad guys.
Like, he's
were.
So...
He's a super villain, essentially.
Yeah, like, he's so one-dimensional. I'm like, does this guy not have any hopes and dreams of his own? Like, he's just talking to himself, by the way, through the whole movie.
That
now we're talking. Yeah. Let's go make some... Everything was, yeah, like, a little... Like, who are you talking to? Like, I just picture him...
Who are we talking to?
Picture him in the cameras out there. He's like, I'm so desperately lonely.
It's not like John McClane in Die Hard. To go back to that, yeah, where it's like, I can't believe I'm in this situation. Mm. Like, you're almost giving out to yourself. This is just him.
He's laughing through the whole
movie. His inner
monologue
is just coming out of his mouth constantly.
Yeah.
He's like, I gotta get into the sewer down here. It's like,
yeah, okay.
Just so audiences know. But again.
And also, he knew way too much about how the world worked.
But like, that they gave, it's a cheat code.
I know they gave him all this stuff, but like, just even like little, like opening the drain thing where I had to be like, he just lifts it up.
But that's, like, I remember.
Did they give him that info?
I think so. That's okay. I was like, when they did that, I was like, it's a bit of a cheat, like, because he's like, I don't know how I learned this stuff, but now I know how to do it. And you're like, yeah, I guess.
The plan for cryotherapy or whatever it was is that, like,
you're rehabilitated.
Yeah, they put in the rehabilitative thoughts.
But it obviously didn't work with Stallone,
yeah,
because he was like, I was awake the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife banging on a piece of glass that used to be her husband.
Also, like, did I? Because, like, he says, like, I had a daughter, and then they're like, listen, we're not here to play family catch up or family reunion. So, it's like, does he ever inquire about his daughter again?
No. So that was cut from that in the notes. There was a whole subplot that they were going to do about it, and they cut that out.
So thinking like, that'd be the first thing, like, this isn't a family. It's like, sorry, I didn't ask to be thawed out here. Where's my fucking family?
But they do. Cocteau says and was like, you're dead. Your family are dead.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, that's just, that was obviously a line they threw in at the end.
I think, wasn't there a bit in it where Sandra Bullock is like saying, oh, we could search the database. He's now. Like, he's like, don't.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought, okay, maybe that's it. He doesn't want to know that she's dead or
but
something.
But it's still
like that.
Yeah, never mentioned again. And like, I'm going to go off and like, hey, I'm going to like it in the future here with Sandra Bullock and not care about my daughter if she's out there. I was like, in my head, I'm like, what would be interesting, it would be if they made Sandra Bullock the daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't know.
Because that's possible.
Yeah,
like,
it totally would
age-wise.
Be. Like, she's about...
And that, I suppose she's in her 20s, isn't she?
Yeah, but he's like...
40?
She said 72-year-olds. He's supposed to be 36. But like, you could push that. He's probably like 42, really. Like,
yeah.
You know,
this is it's a movie that I actually thought. You know,
there's
what?
Some interesting stuff there. Like you say,
I wasn't bored, and I thought Dennis Leary and the whole underground thing. I was like, that's fine. You know, they didn't really add too much to it.
It's half baked.
Yes,
you know
what
I mean.
It's an
interesting idea of like this guy that like wants to have control.
Yeah,
and I love the idea of like him unthawing, you know, Simon Phoenix to do his, and then like it's like Frankenstein's monster turning on him. Like, I love that idea.
Yeah,
it's like the fact that he can't kill him.
Yeah,
and then he just tosses it to the other guy,
and it was so nonchalant. He's like, "This guy's annoying me. Kill him." Yeah. And it's just like,
I was like, "Well, he can't pull the trigger." It's like, "Oh, he can. Okay, great." Like, he's like, oh,
tosses him into the fire. Like,
good death. Toss him into the fire is good.
It was a good death, but I thought it was maybe lacking a, you can't do this to me, or, you know, like, I brought you back. It was just like, huh?
Yeah.
And then tossed him to the fire. I'm like, oh, he's done now with the movie.
Yeah. And, you know, it was kind of, they foreshadow it pretty quickly that you're like, well, this guy's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Cocteau.
Yeah.
But then it was like an hour into the movie and he's like, they have that. He's like, no kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can't, he's like, I can't pull the trigger or whatever like that. Like, And I was like, okay, it would have maybe been better. The script structure I found was kind of weird because it was like...
What do you mean?
Like, that reveal might have played better for me a little later in the movie.
Yeah.
Like I make it more of a kind of a conspiracy thing. But also, when Phoenix is getting the gang together, I'm like, there's only 30 minutes left in this movie. Like, he should have got the gang together half an hour ago. Yeah.
Also, was Jesse Ventura one of his gang members?
Because I've seen him in the credits. No, he's in the credits. I didn't see him.
Yeah. It looked like one of the guys looked like Tate Fletcher, you know, like that big, bald, mustachio guy who's in everything, Hired Goon. It looked like him, but I was like, it can't be him because that's.
I don't see him here. Like, I'm looking on IMDb. Like,
maybe that's Jesse Ventura?
I'm looking on IMDb and I don't see. Like, he's not in the listed ones here, anyway.
But you know what? I would watch this 10 times before I would watch First Blood again.
Ah, Andy.
100%.
You are fucking crazy.
I would watch this 10 times in a row.
Ten times in a row.
In a row before I had to watch Cliffhanger. If you gave me this movie and... Or not Cliffhanger. Ooh. Well, Cliffhanger too.
Jack Black is in this movie.
What?
As one of the wasteland scraps.
Is he?
Yeah.
No way.
Jesse Ventura is Cryocon. So maybe he is that guy.
I thought so. He just looked younger than I remember him.
But like, how has he got no lines? How do you give Jesse Ventura, who's like in Predator, as like this... Like one of the main characters in Predator, and like he's so many fucking great. Like,
Is he a good actor?
He's good for what? Like,
what his
machismo
role is.
Guy? Yeah. I'm a goddamn sexual Tyrannosaurus, McMahon. but you know who else in this movie? Did you pick up on who was playing the piano in Taco Bell? I guess in Pizza Hut, in my version.
No.
And he's singing like the Jolly Green Giant song.
No.
Dan Cortez,
who's that?
AKA Tony. Tony. What?
Hunky Tony?
Yeah.
Tony. You better step off.
Step off? Step off, George.
Later, dude.
I got sandwiches.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Good movie. Not enough Rob Schneider for me.
Just enough Rob Schneider for me.
Bill Cobbs was good as, is that John Spartan? You know.
Oh yeah, he was good. John Spartan. Yeah, like the name.
Terrible.
Let me ask you then, what would you, if you were giving it a ranking, I don't know if we...
Let's do a ratings first. What are you going to give it?
8 out of 10.
8?
8.
Wow.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I enjoyed the movie.
I'm going to give it 6.5.
Okay.
Right, 6.5 out of 10.
So where does that rank in your...
I have, if I'm doing my rankings, if we want to update them, it's 6.7 on IMDb. So, you know.
Okay.
That's not... And what was it, 60-something percent?
Yeah, 60.
So, I mean, you're above average. I'm, you know...
Oh, this is so my kind of movie.
I knew you'd enjoy it as well. I mean, and I was like, if he says this, I don't get him.
Yeah,
there's no hope. What's going on? I picked this one, especially because I knew...
Oh, yeah. It's everything I want in a movie. This was
so. If I'm going, it's Rocky, then it's First Blood, then it's Rocky IV, then it's this, then Cliffhanger, then Tango and Cash. Cash and Tango. Tango. And
Cash. You can't not do it when you say Tango and Cash. Okay, I would go. So I gave this an 8. So Rocky 4, I think I gave it 9.
Yeah, 9.5 maybe. You might give it, like, it's like, because I remember being like, the only film you've given a 10 to is There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
And then Rocky 4. Out of everything else we've done, like modern classics, you know, other classics.
Oh, so I tell you, I would watch Demolition Man over 95% of the movies that we've reviewed in the entire series. I would go Rocky IV. Like, yeah.
Maybe we just need to do like more action movies.
Hell yeah.
Like, because I don't know, like, this is not a very good action movie, in my opinion. Like,
it's not.
You wouldn't have this over Die Hard with a Vengeance or Speed Bad. But look, like, list off the 90s action movie. You know,
all of my 90s action series.
You'd have it ahead of Armageddon, though, like, surely.
I'd have it ahead of Armageddon. I'd have it ahead of Broken Arrow.
Yeah.
For sure.
Not ahead of Con Air, though.
No, I wouldn't have it ahead of True Lies, either.
Yeah, True Lies is a fucking weird one though. Like, it's
so good. There's just something about the 90s-ness of it where it's like indefinable. It's just the way the world was then, the way they made movies then. I'm just in love with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like the 80s.
That's not my bag though. You know?
But like, if you think about,
the 80s is too, like, the acting is too far removed from the acting. And you said something a month or two ago where I said, like, I was quite surprised because I said, like, you know, the acting back then when we were doing Rocky, and I was like, the acting back then just isn't as good as the acting now.
Yeah.
And you were like, what? And I remember thinking, I've thought about it a few times afterwards, and maybe as I've been going through the series, I'm like, no, I really stand by that. Like,
you think the acting in this movie is better than the acting in Rocky? Like,
better than the acting in Rocky? Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Crazy.
100%.
Crazy.
I don't think that the dialogue is better. I don't think that
the performance Stallone gives in Rocky is 10 times better than this performance.
Well,
it is.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, well. Let me just check. One last check before we start getting into our, you know, our plugs and stuff.
Well, let me rank it while you're checking.
Yeah,
I'm going to go Rocky 4, Demolition Man 2, then Rocky.
Okay.
Then Tango and Cash. Then First Blood, then Cliffhanger.
What? Andy!
Yeah. I hated First Blood. I thought it was so shit.
You're a fucking idiot.
I thought it was crap.
Brilliant. I'm just looking to see if there was any Razzie nominations, but it doesn't seem so.
Don't worry about it.
You don't
need to cheapen it.
Go on then. Tell the people where they can find us. Oh wait, we haven't done our awards yet. Ed Harris Award
for excellence in acting, Sandra Bullock.
Gotta be Bullock,
of course. She legitimizes this whole operation.
Yeah.
And line reading.
Yeah.
Oof, so many to choose from. I can never think of the one in this one. I did laugh at the...
You're supposed to do your homework, Andy.
Yeah, but fucking, you know, I'm just struggling here, am I?
Here's mine. It's like, how can you justify destroying a $7 million mini mall to rescue a girl whose ransom was $25,000? Yeah. And then the kid is like, fuck you, lady. He's like, oh, good answer.
I liked the part where he's fined credits every time he curses, and then he goes up to the machine because he needs toilet paper. He's like,
imagine wiping your ass,
motherfucking blah, blah, blah. It's like, you are fined one credit. You are fined one credit. It's like, I don't need toilet paper no more.
I did like that running gag of, she's like, you licked his ass. He's like,
kicked his ass.
You know,
you could take this job and shovel it. Oh, close enough.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
It was fun. It was. This was actually fun.
Somebody put me back in the fridge.
Yeah.
Mellow greetings. What seems to be your boggle?
My boggle.
I'm just looking at the codes page here. Like,
what seems to be your boggle?
Yeah. The exchange of bodily fluids. Do you know what that leads to? Yeah, I do. Kids smoking, a desire to raid the fridge.
That was actually a great line. Yeah.
I don't know. The hunka chunka.
he's like, the
backseat mambo, the hunka chunka.
I also like the way when she says, do you want to have sex? He's just like, here with you? Now? He's like,
yeah.
Like, I love that. It wasn't like a, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just like, yeah.
I'm a red blooded male Spartan.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so tell the people where they can find us.
You can find us on Instagram, folks. What's so great about Pod? Now, you can find links. You can find clips from our Patreon there. You can find a link to the Patreon itself. Now, Terry will get to that in a second. But, actually, no, that's me now.
Yeah. I'm relaxing.
On the Patreon, you get, not only do you get early access to all this episode. If you were on the Patreon, you'd have already heard this episode by now. You also get 2 extra episodes a month. It works. 2 extra episodes a month. I mean, if you are on the Patreon and you're listening to this, you're getting the benefit right now. Guys, you also get video content of this here podcast on the Patreon. And Well, that's it. You also you get what 200 episodes
to our back catalogue.
200 episodes in our back catalogue. Mm-hmm. Arguably our best stuff.
All that 90s action.
90s
movie.
Action series, MCU series, Ryan Gosling series, that's Will Smith series.
I think the Ryan Gosling one might be my favourite one that we've
done. Do you
think? Yeah.
I think the. Do you know what? Out of everything that we've done, the last series has been my favourite series.
The Mission Impossible.
The Mission Impossible series. And I've gotten some feedback from other people saying the very same thing.
Look, the people who got in touch with me saying, you know what, you made me go and watch them all. And they were like, I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for, folks.
Yeah. Folks, watch Demolition Man. If you want a good time.
If only it was somewhere readily available. That's the biggest drawback with it. Like,
nothing's available anywhere. Netflix is fucking gone. Anyway, that's me.
No cap?
No cap.
Oh, okay.
No cap.
If you can't afford the €5 a month, I was going to say dollars, €5 a month, well,
imagine.
You can do me one other solid. You can support us in a different way by giving us a rating and review. Now, Andy!
Yeah, sorry.
In this movie, at the climax, there were going to be 80 cryo prisoners be released. I don't want an 80 star review. That's crazy. That you know what I want?
What do you want?
I want a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you, you know, on your podcast of choice, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, give us a rating review. Really helps grow the podcast, gets us back in the charts, and puts you guys back in our hearts.
Where you belong.
Yes.
What have you got next week?
What have we got next week? We've got, we're getting serious. It's a drama. It's a star-studded drama.
Great.
1997's Copland.
Yes!
And it's a very different Sylvester Stallone performance.
One of my favorite scenes in any movie is in this.
Blew it, Andy!
You had your chance and you blew it.
What's the matter with you guys?
Never have any napkins. Listen, you deaf fuck. I gave you the chance to be a cop and you blew it.
Poor old Freddy, huh? I can't wait to rewatch this movie.
Me too. Yeah. I watched it last year, actually, for the first time.
I remember you were like raving about
and
it.
And I loved it. Yeah. So, but I can't wait to really sink my teeth in now.
So that's it. And then we got one more after that.
Fuck yeah.
And then we're moving into our sequels.
I'll be happy to park the Stallone
bus.
Yeah. But like, it's been fun.
Yeah.
It's not like PTA where it was like, I'm quitting the show. Like, this is a fun bad. When it's bad, it's at least fun. This isn't like
one of the absolute, you know, greatest auteurs of the past 30
Stephen
years.
Word.
It's like, oh, I'm tour. Quitting the show. Like, my favorite living director.
I was honestly like that scene in Clockwork Orange. You know, where they have the eyes. I hate this. Anyway, sorry.
So that's next week. but until then, look after yourselves.
Yep. You more than anyone, Terry.
I mean, I'll still have this on probably by next record.
Okay. Well, I hope it starts to feel better. I don't know why I'm saying this. Yeah. This is more of an off mic comment. Okay. Folks, I hope you start to feel better.
What are you going
to
say that I'm...
I love you.
Yeah, you don't get that from me. You get that behind the paywall. You get the big L. But, you know, I hope everything is going okay in your life.
Just
generally.
Okay.
Just okay. Yeah. Until you become a patron.
We're well wishes in that we don't wish you any specific.
I was born a snake handler and I'll die a snake handler.
And on that note, have a good week, folks.
Folks, I'd like to sing a song about the American dream. About me. About you. About the way our American hearts beat way down in the bottom of our chests. About that special feeling we get in the cockles of our hearts. Maybe below the cockles. Maybe in the subcockle area. Maybe in the liver. Maybe in the kidneys. Maybe even in the colon. We don't know. I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white suburbanite slob. I like football and porno and books about war. I got an average house with a nice hardwood floor. My wife and my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar.
sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested.
Oh no.
No way. No, I've gotta go out and have fun at someone else's expense.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I drive really slow in the ultra fast lane while people behind me are going insane. I'm an asshole. Yo, 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 yo. I'm an asshole. Yo, buddy, yo, buddy, yo. I use public toilets and I piss on the seat. I walk around in the summertime saying, how about this heat? I'm an asshole.
He's an asshole.
Yo, yo, yo. Sometimes I park in handicapped spaces while handicapped people make handicapped faces. I'm an asshole.
He's an asshole.
Yo, 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 yo. I'm an asshole.
Yo, yo.
Maybe I shouldn't be singing this song, ranting and raving and carrying on. Maybe they're right when they tell me I'm wrong. Nah, I'm an asshole. Yo, 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 yo. I'm an asshole.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get myself a 1967 Cadillac Eldorado convertible. Hot pink with whale skin hubcaps and all leather cow interior and big brown baby seal eyes for headlights. Yeah! And I'm gonna drive around in that baby at 115 miles per hour, getting 1 mile per gallon, sucking down quarter pounder cheeseburgers from McDonald's in the old-fashioned non-biodegradable styrofoam containers. And when I'm done sucking down those greaseball burgers, I'm gonna wipe my mouth with the American flag, and then I'm gonna toss the styrofoam containers right out the side, and there ain't a goddamn thing anybody can do about it. You know why? Because we got the bomb, that's why. Two words, nuclear fucking weapons, okay? Russia, Germany, Romania, they can have all the democracy they want. They can have a big democracy cakewalk right through the middle of Tiananmen Square, and it won't make a lick of difference because we got the bombs, okay? John Wayne's not dead. He's frozen. And as soon as we find a cure for cancer, we're gonna thaw out the Duke, and he's gonna be pretty pissed off. You know why? Have you ever taken a cold shower? We'll multiply that by 15 million times. That's how pissed off the Duke's gonna be. I'm gonna get the Duke and John Cassavetes and Lee Marvin and Sam Peckinpah and a case of whiskey and drive down to Texas.
Hey, you know, you really are an asshole.
Why don't you just shut up and sing this song, pal?
I'm an asshole. Yo, yo, yo.
I'm an asshole, and I'm proud of it.